Have you ever tried meditating and you ended up making a to-do list instead? You're not broken. You just have a puppy mind. And today we're going to learn how to train it. Today's guest is Phyllis Coletta. She is the author of How to Be a Good Dog. But this isn't about your furry friends. Phyllis teaches us how to train our puppy mind, that restless, distracted part of us that keeps running off every time we try to meditate. So stick around because we're going to learn why her approach is so unique and why it's so important to train our puppy minds in the first place. I just want to say thank you to Dr. Bradley Nelson, iHeartRadio, for your sponsorship. And to our listeners and our fans, please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. So, puppy minds, hey, we all have puppy minds, Phyllis. How are you doing
Do.
today?
I'm good. And I was a Chihuahua for many years. I like people to like kind of envision what breed their puppy mind is. So mine was very noisy.
Is that what a Chihuahua's mind is like?
To me, yes. And little dogs always bark the most and they're fierce and
Ew, they're so
right?
loud.
They're so loud, whereas the big dogs are all cool and chill. But so I was, I'm a small little human and I was always a fierce little dog. Lots of, kind of anger and put up my dukes kind of energy. So yeah, I would say I was a Chihuahua, but the good news is I've morphed into a black lab. I
So
just like
what does
to
that
say
even mean? What does it mean to have a puppy mind?
it means that how puppy obviously is so relatable, right? If you've ever tried to train a puppy, they are literally all over the place and you can't contain them and they are destructive and they just don't know any better, right? So one of the reasons I chose the puppy kind of analogy is because who doesn't love a puppy? But we certainly don't love ourselves, and we don't show our own minds the same level of love as we would this dog that's eating our slippers and chewing the toilet paper and, doing the things that we still find love for them, So a puppy mind is simply just exactly what you envision. It's all over the place and uncontained.
So I love that so much. I wonder what kind of dog I would be. I used to have a Boston Terrier French Bulldog, and he was stubborn, so smart, but like just this little shit. Like I was just like, oh, he would drive me nuts.
Like your mind can, right? It's exactly the same thing. Like, but
Yes.
once you train that little shit, it becomes like a loyal, steadfast companion, right? So that's what we want our minds to be.
Yeah.
The analogies are so crazy about how similar our minds are to puppy minds and then well-trained minds. And a well-trained mind is a beautiful asset, whereas an untrained mind is a huge liability.
Yeah, because then it starts dominating us.
Well, yeah, and look around the world. There's all chaos. Why is there all this chaos? The chaos on the outside reflects what's going on inside our heads. We are all over the place. We are completely, we have this wild energy. We don't know what to do with it. A lot of it is fear, just like a puppy when they don't understand the environment or whatever. So, yeah, it's really critical that we learn to train our minds.
Yeah, so man, there's so many people that are like, I just can't meditate. Why do you think most people struggle to sit still? Like, what's going on?
That's a great question. And it's because I think for a lot of reasons, first of all, it's cultural, right? Like, especially with all the devices, we can never endure silence. And in silence, it's the only place you're ever going to get peace and wisdom is in quiet. But we are
True.
just a very restless culture, the American culture. In different parts of the world, they have no problem sitting still, being quiet. But in the US, it's always go, go, go. We are not human beings, we're human doers, we do. And lots of people feel edgy when they sit still, like they can't do it. It makes them nervous to sit still because they start thinking, I got to do the dishes, I got to plan this, I didn't pay the bill. Like the mind, it's the mind. So, but I guarantee you train your mind like you would a puppy, and you will gain so much peace in your life. And if you gain peace, then your family, your neighbors, it just spreads. So it's kind of what, that's sort of what we need to be able to do. And meditation, I found, right, was always seemed so like sacred, and like I wasn't good enough to sit there and be quiet, or I would go into these rooms where very serious people were doing very serious things, and I'm fun. Like, I don't want to do that, right? I want to have fun. So the puppy metaphor works for me a lot better, frankly. So.
Yeah, no, it's true. Some people hear meditation and they think that you have to be in some temple and surrounded by,
Right.
a guru. But meditation can literally be like coloring.
Right. And you know what, Lisa? Unfortunately, we monetize everything in this culture. So,
True.
lots of teachers, so-called teachers, actually make people dependent on them rather than encouraging them to have an individual practice with their own minds. So they do the guiding and the mantras and the mudras and the bells and the whistles, and you really don't need anybody else to do this. But in the culture, it's kind of like when I was a lawyer, like you need lawyers because we complicate so many things, right? So when meditation begins,
Everything. Humans
yeah,
complicate everything.
our minds, it's the ego mind, loves complexity because it keeps us away from peace. Complexity can disturb our peace. And for some reason, the ego, the general, wants us to be in stress or something all the time. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people are turned off by meditation, or they try it and can't do it for 30 seconds. They're like, I'm done. I'm done. So I get that. It takes a little discipline, but it takes discipline to train a puppy. But it's worth it, right? Because then they learn to poop outside instead of in your kitchen. Like, things get better when you train the dog, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we got to do with our minds, the same thing.
Yeah. So when did you first realize like that dog training cues could unlock a totally different way of teaching mindfulness?
It's so interesting, like the trajectory of my life. And this is why, I don't mean to say my life is, it was interesting to me, but why I feel really like compelled to especially work with women in their 30s, because that's such a rough decade, like on so many levels.
My
And in
God, agreed.
my 30s, I was just, whoo, talk about all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And by the time I was 42, I was already divorced twice. I was a single mom of three boys at the Jersey Shore. So my life was a shite show, and things were so out of control that I was like the scorched earth policy, just like going through men and jobs and things. And I was having fun, but it was just not healthy. So I started down the traditional route of meditation. I figured, like, either I can just drink a lot or I can booze or Buddhism. Like, what am I going to do here? Like, in your early 40s, that seems to be what a lot of people start thinking, like, oh, I'm halfway there, and what's going on? It's not fun, So the traditional way, helped me somewhat. But as I got older, I realized that I became face to face with this concept that, like, it's too complicated and too shrouded in mystery. And all you really need to do is sit down. And that's when I started thinking, well, the cues are so easy. Why do we complicate it? And at the time, it was like 2018, I was teaching in an alternative high school in Seattle for kids in recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. And man, their minds are wild. They're wild. I mean, teenagers are wild anyway, right? And I love them. And by the way, they love meditation. I've taught like 6 years in high school, 6, 7 years. Whenever I teach, eventually I teach the kids a little bit about meditation just so they can learn to be calm. They love it because usually we don't give teenagers the opportunity to just stop. We're always trying to make them also go or do or think or succeed. But anyway, these kids were having none of it because they're just rebellious. But I love them. And one day I just, like, I don't know, I just brought it up in class, like, just think about your mind as a puppy. And I asked this one young guy, Tyler, he had all the hair in his face, and he was just like a grumpy old man. I said, what's the breed? What's the
Or a
breed?
Shih
And
Tzu
that's
that
right. That's exactly what he looked like. I said, what's your breed, Tyler? And he said, I'm an effing German Shepherd. I was like, so
Oh.
even having, right, it gives you information. When you identify the breed or somebody tells you they're a German Shepherd, you think they're angry, right? Or they're fierce or they're ferocious or whatever. So that gave us a lot of cues. We started working with it. They just loved it. So I expanded it, in my own head, in my way. And then A couple year 2 years ago, I was incapacitated, believe it or not, by a spontaneous brain bleed that came out of nowhere for no reason, but I had to stop working. And I decided once my eyes recovered, it impaired my vision for a little while. I was thinking about just writing this book about it, and my daughter-in-law, who is 30, called me, and she was just beside herself on about a parenting issue. Like my granddaughter, she was having, they were starting to bump heads. Anna was only 10 or 11. It was already starting. So I talked to my daughter-in-law, Kaya, about this method, like simplicity, try it. And she loved it. And it made a difference. She started changing the way she parented. And that will, if you have kids, the one thing that will motivate you more than anything is changing in order to keep them close and happy. So that's how it happened. It's sort of, I grew into the concept, and it really stuck when I worked with teenagers, and my 30-year-old daughter-in-law was like, wow, this is awesome. So that's how it came to pass. And I just love everybody who's too afraid or says they can't meditate to think of it differently, like in these terms, because it works. It really does.
Yeah,
So
so what makes your technique different?
well, it's really like what I guess, people call like sacrilegious or something, because there are only very few rules. Just like when you're training a dog, you can't make it complicated. You start with sit, right? Most of the time we start there with the dog because we got to contain them in some way. So it's just a very simple, and even with the sit concept, the teachers and the culture have made it like you got to sit like this, you have to sit here, you have to put your hands here, you have to breathe this way. My method is just sit. And when you train a dog, what do you use? You use love, patience, reward, consistency. And as Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, always says, energy. It's all about the human's energy, the way the dogs are trained. So you take those same very simple concepts to yourself and you just sit. I mean, it's good to sit on the floor because it's like makes me feel like preschool story time feels like kind of fun to sit on the floor. But if you can sit in a chair, like there's no, in my view, like there's not a lot of rules about that kind of stuff. The harder work comes later when you're trying to stay and, leave it, certain thoughts that come in your head, and then the healing happens eventually. So you want to try to have a good, solid way to sit, even if it's for 2 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be a marathon. So you just start
That's
simple
the
and
thing, is like there's all these techniques out there that it just they overwhelm people because it's like 25 minutes every single day, for someone who's never meditated before, that can seem like a lot when you're first starting out.
Lisa, if we right now were quiet for 30 seconds, that would seem like interminable. It would seem really long, right? 30 seconds is a long time. So if you can be in silence with your phone on airplane or do not disturb, if you can do that for 2 or 3 minutes to start, I think that's heroic. Like that's where you start. Start really small. Micro
Why do you think
meditation.
simplicity works?
Because that's like our nature is supposed, as human beings, if you look at children, they're not complicated. So, but we, as we get older and we get into the culture, we are taught to be complex for some reason. And then you fill out all the forms and all the bureaucracy and you go to work and everything's serious. And all of a sudden, your life becomes very complex. We forgot how to be like little kids or a happy little dog. Like dogs aren't complicated. They just need your love. They need reward. And that's it. And they will be by your side and love you unconditionally. That's how simple it is. So, simplicity, I think we crave it. We just don't know it. We don't realize it.
So when people start using these micro meditations, like how quickly do they feel the shift?
In my experience with people, and that's just kind of my circle of friends and family. It happens pretty quickly when you break it down, and you try the 2 minute, but it does take discipline. Like you do have to commit to sit. You have to commit to it, meaning you can't just do it once and then be like, oh, it really helps. Just like with training a dog, habitual behavior is what embeds it in their minds, their little doggy brains, right? They know that when you do X, this is going to happen. When you go to that closet, they're going to get a treat, right? They know the habits. They know how things work. So, it can start to embed in you pretty quickly. And once you get the hang of silence and sitting, it feels good. And you're going to want to do it instead of scrolling. Because that's where we
Well, that's
waste
a
our
big
time.
one, because that's what a lot of people do is they get home after a long day and they sit on the couch and they scroll on their phone for hours, even in the morning. That's
Right.
typically what people do when they first wake up in the morning is they grab their phone and start looking at
Yeah.
whatever.
That's so unhealthy, right? But you know what it does? It shuts your mind off. It's a way of like it's so mindless, right? Which is what meditation is trying to attain as well, right? Is this sense of nothing going on up there and you're peaceful. But the scrolling is all these images and words. It's so activating. It's not good for you, right, in the long run at all. So, but it becomes a habit. People have that habit. You know, they even like let the kids watch TV and instead of like maybe taking those 2 or 3 minutes to meditate, they just sit down and do the same thing. Scrolling is a very, very bad habit. And it's going to ruin us if it hasn't already. You know, I hate to be doom and gloom about this, but it's a hard habit to break, but it's got to happen in little bites. And it can, people can do it. We can do it.
Could you walk us through like a short little puppy mind practice people can do right now?
Sure. So it, you know, you have to find a place to sit. You just need to sit. If you're in your home, if there's a quiet place, now that's a big deal. A lot of people don't have a quiet space in their house. I used to go near the washer and dryer because I knew my boys would never do laundry, right? Not willingly. So, and when all their friends are in the house, you know, just find a quiet spot. Sit on the ground. You can cross your legs. And people like to put like a pillow or something to keep your hips up a little. Then it doesn't hurt so much to just sit on the ground. And put your hands anywhere they feel comfortable. Take a deep breath in through your nose for like 5 counts and then slowly out. And there you have it. There you have it. You're sitting, you're meditating. And the concept is not to stop your mind because you will never stop thinking. So don't set a goal that you can't reach. Don't set any goals. Frig the goals. Forget about goals. We're so goal oriented. Just do that. And I always turn my phone on airplane and set a timer. So just do that for 2 minutes. And the only thing I would recommend then, and this is what I talk about in the book as well, just enjoy the show because it's hilarious. When you finally realize that you've been listening to this crazy person all your life, like there's a voice in your head that is constantly commentating, criticizing, judging, yelling, degrading, debate. It's a nightmare, and we are not even aware of it. So, like the first time you start this, just enjoy and be kind of amused by what's going on. That's all you got to do. And then we'll
Yeah, so
learn
what if,
to deal with it. You know, you learn more about that.
so when people, what should people notice or not judge? Like, I mean, your mind is going to wander. So what you're saying is people need to just watch the thoughts.
Just witness that stuff. So, like, we are of two minds, and you probably know this, Lisa. You're in the field, kind of, right? So, we have that noisy, judgy mind, and then we have this quiet, like, if you step back, the Buddhists call it a witness. You cultivate this witness. That's all you're supposed to do is look at the other mind, look at that crazy mind, and don't judge it. You're going to be a little surprised. And eventually, your quiet mind, what I would call the alpha dog, like the alpha of the mind, that's really the quiet leader, is going to help you to stop listening to that noise. It's all fake news. It's just this running commentary. We're just used to it. Everybody has these voices in their heads, like we're all a little crazy, right? It's all, but you can stop it. You can stop the noise. So, yeah, I would just say witness it. Don't be hard on yourself. And eventually you'll be like, oh, that sounds like my mother. Like you're going to start realizing that it's nonsense that you're listening to and it's worthless. But so it's really a worthy endeavor. It's going to make your life a lot better.
Tell us about your book.
Okay, here is my book. So it's Learning to Sit, Stay, and HEAL, heal, because it really works that way. And the other important piece is leave it. So it's sit, stay, leave it, heal. And I wrote this very easily. I've written several books, and this one was the easiest I wrote because I believe it so much. And I was just telling story after story about how I effed up so many things in my life. I'm very unashamed about everything I've done. I've had a great time, right? Lots of adventures, but so many mistakes. And, mostly in relationships and parenting, like in the important things, I've really, dropped the ball. But
Yeah, I can relate.
I have no shame about it. So if you want to just read somebody telling how they learned to look at themselves with love, that's why the puppy thing works really well. And it's really short. It's only like 200 pages. So like it's not a big tome. It's not full of Latin phrases or mudras or mantras or descriptive, like it's really funny. Because I think when people are engaged in a story and they laugh, it opens them up. And then the information can get in a lot easier. If you're really serious, like reading a tome about meditation and all this serious, like these Sanskrit words and all that stuff, it's not fun. And you start to feel ponderous and weighty, and it's kind of boring. Those things never help me. There's this guy, this British philosopher named Alan Watts, and he says, trying to gain wisdom by reading a book is like eating the menu instead of the meal. So that's what we do. We grab books to try to read to feed ourselves. We're eating the menu, and the meal is the experience. We have to actually do it. The only way you get to peace of mind is by physically doing something. So the book is short and sweet because I wanted it to be that way. And it's funny because I think that's how people learn, is when they can relax, So.
I was learning a meditation technique in my early 30s, and the stuff that we had to watch was like this meditation guru who I could barely understand what he was saying. And like I was looking around the room and everyone was like perched up, just like so into it. And I'm like, I have no clue what this man is even talking about right now. Never mind like his voice and all the words he was using. Yeah, it wasn't a good experience for me.
Right. And see, lots of people after that would simply be like, I'm done with this. I don't know.
I
It
didn't
sounds like.
do meditation. It took me till like I'm 41 now, and I just started using that technique about 6 months ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've read the book, but there's a lot easier way to do it than like listening to the Indian gurus, bless their hearts. But it's like people think that these guys, it's mostly guys, right, are going to impart something to them that they don't know already. And the truth is, we know everything inside. We have the wisdom. We know how to be
It's in
content.
us. It's within us.
Yeah. But it's buried under the noise and the
Yeah, we give
obligation.
our power away to everything and everyone when really the
Yes.
power is inside of us.
Yes, ma'am. Right
Yeah,
on. That's the truth.
that's a big realization.
Yeah, that everybody has this. And guess what? It's free. You don't have to pay $1 million to go to a seminar for 6 weeks to be holy or any of that stuff. You don't have to be celibate. You don't have to wear special clothing. Like, you just got to sit your ass down. Just sit it down. I'm from Philly, so I curse a lot. And I curse in the book too. I'm pretty sure there's not a lot of meditation books that use the F word as much as I do in my book, but there's that. So,
I love how you bring meditation down to earth. Like it's very relatable because so many people, like you said, think of it as this big like spiritual practice when really it's like you could be meditating and cutting vegetables, you know?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, and the mindfulness is really a part of that, right? So you meditate and you're sitting and you're quiet and the show is happening in your head, et cetera. And the book talks about what you do with all that stuff. But also, then when you get up and walk around, like you're supposed to continue that sort of frame of mind of paying attention to your peace of mind, not to the
Yeah.
TV or the nonsense or the news or your kids or and just like. Your peace of mind has got to be your priority.
Tell us where we can find your book.
Well, I was so happy to get How to Be a Good Dog as a URL. So it's just howtobeagooddog.com. So that's the best, the easiest place to order it right there. It's on Amazon and all. I'm not a fan necessarily of Amazon, but you can get it right off of the publisher from my website. So.
Beautiful. Before we go, do you want to tell us one of those shameless stories of yours? Tell us about something that happened to
Oh my
you.
gosh, there are so many of them, Lisa. Oh my gosh, let's see. What could it? Oh gosh, I can't think of anything specific. Let me just tell you one of the things that finally pushed me into meditation was the parenting thing. Parenting teenagers will take you out. So I can't even name. Well, okay, here's one. I came home from work one day. I was a lawyer. It's like Jersey in the summer, it's so hot. We had to wear pantyhose, like that's sticking to my body. The dog's like laying in front of the TV. Nobody's doing anything. Everybody's starving. I go out into the backyard or the garage, and two of my boys are like swatting at each other with like those pool noodles. And I don't know why. I just lost my mind. I like picked up a bike. I was like, I am sick of this shit. And I threw this bike all the way across the guitar. And they just stood there and looked at me like, oh man, like I never
They
hit them.
started listening to you
Yeah, they started,
then.
they got scared, which is not a great way. It's not a great way to train kids or puppies, right? With fear. But that was kind of my MO. And I would have these raging, this anger that come out of nowhere because I would get just so fed up, like mom rage, I guess, or whatever. But it wasn't just about the kids. It was about the job that I hated. It was about not having enough money. It was about, like being between husbands or boyfriends or whatever. No man was ever like kind of cutting it. It was all the things. So yeah, there's a lot of that. I did throw things and I cursed a lot. And the boys, now they laugh at me and make fun of me. They have seen the transformation in me. So the good news is you don't necessarily need to lose the relationship with your kids, like you can salvage all that. That was the biggest motivator for me because I realized they were going to drift away from me if I remained that crazy and angry. I was going to lose them. So that's a really good reason to kind of take a turn in the path.
Yeah,
So
for sure.
every story, there's always a happy ending. So all of my crazy stories eventually led me to where I am.
If you could give our listeners one cue to carry into the rest of their day, what would it be?
I think it would be the leave it, okay? Leave it is when your dog's about to eat a piece of trash or pick up some shit or whatever. You don't want to take toxic stuff into your head or into your body. So when these toxic thoughts happen, just leave it. I say it out loud to myself, like, Phyllis, no. Like I treat my mind like a puppy that's about to do something that's going to hurt it, because I don't want to hurt myself anymore, and I don't want my dog eating that dead animal, right? You got to think of it that way. So you can practice leave it all the time, just walking around in your life. Just
Yeah.
no, not so.
Thank
That's
you. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being here. That's so funny because this morning I imagined my inner child doing something that she shouldn't be doing. And whenever she's like kind of bad behaved, that means that something's going on within me. So this morning I turned around and I said, "No, stop, sit." And
Oh,
I said that out loud. So yeah, I feel like this was synchronous with the word.
you?
It was
Synchronous, yeah.
preparing me for our show today.
Yes, it works. Yeah, it really works. Just telling yourself, no, I'm not thinking that thought. And I stop it right in its tracks. And it works. So good for you and
Yeah.
your inner child. You and your inner child.
Well, yeah, thanks again for being here and for sharing your wisdom and knowledge. And it sounds like an amazing book.
Well, thanks, Lisa. I appreciate you.
Yes, and to our audience, we'll have the book linked in our show notes for you. And sit down, meditate, be quiet, see how it feels. It's really not that scary. Until next time, take care, everybody.